I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And this
is the Eshcast.
This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 592, Romancing the Scone.
This is Electric Sisterhood, home of the original.
The fucking original.
Girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Welcome to a brand new episode of our weekly podcast, Panda.
Hi, sis. What's up?
Girl, how you doing?
I'm good. I'm alive. Feeling good.
You looking know, good. Sun's shining. Mm.
Sun's shining a lot. It's like a little so hot.
I'm so glad that it's back because we missed it in Massachusetts.
Sometimes it's too hot for moms.
I had to bring out the mom shorts. You know, here's the thing. Don't be hating on the mom shorts.
No, I'm not. They have maximum shortness girth for air travel. Like, I'm cool.
They allow for wind to travel. They also have the deepest pockets.
Yes, they do.
Okay? They are so functional. Like, in my younger days, I used to be like, why would you wear shorts like that? Now I'm like, where can I get shorts like that?
Back in the day when I wanted pockets, I had to wear JNCO jeans. This was also the 90s, though. And they weren't even shorts. They were just... I had two pairs of JNCOs.
Get out.
Mom hated those pants.
I was about to say, because I tried to have a pair of JNCOs, and she cut those shits.
Oh, man. I had two pairs. I had a black pair that I wore when I was going through, like, my emo phase. Uh-huh. And I had some jean pairs because Hot Mess was able to wear them because Mom gave zero fucks about that because I need her blood. But I was like, I want some JNCOs. And she was like, no. And then I went and bought them and hid them for a while. And then I just waited until her resolve, like, petered down. And then I would just wear them. And I was like, but Mom, look at these pockets. I could put three hoagies in these pants.
Legit, you could put so much in JNCO jean pockets.
Your steak and cheese sub fits in my right pocket, and I could put a soda and chips.
You could put, like, a baby in those pockets.
Yeah.
You didn't need a baby Bjorn if you had JNCO jeans.
Right, exactly.
You just had to worry about the dye of the jeans running off on the baby. But then you just have, like, a really cool-looking baby.
Maybe. You have a very artistic baby. But regardless... Yeah. But, I did. They're still practically the only pants I have that have pockets. Because for some reason, they think women don't want pockets in their clothes.
We want all the pockets!
Like, I'm wearing a dress right now. Like, a cute, like, polka dot blue, navy blue dress. And it's got pockets. And I'm like, I could put a wallet in here. Granted,
and
my wallet's pretty big.
Place, aren't you?
Yeah, because my hands can go in it. I could rub my belly. Not that I need to, but if I needed to, I could. Pockets are the fucking best. Pockets TM.
Want pockets. I want pockets to put hot pockets in, okay?
Like, don't get me wrong. I love my pocketbook, but I also would like the pockets to be attached to my clothes so I don't have to make sure I have my pocketbook. You know what I'm saying?
I feel you. All right, let's move on to games and anime.
Okay.
Let's talk about that stuff because there's all kinds of things going on all over the place. I want to jump in really quickly with some news. Did you see that Overwatch launched a new champion this week?
No, I don't I'm not on the Overwatch tip.
I know you're not on the Overwatch tip anymore, but it's a hamster.
Okay.
In a hamster ball. He's basically like a wrecking ball.
Is he a giant hamster or is he a legit hamster? Like,
legit hamster
size?
He was like in the same experiment that Winston was in.
Okay.
But he got left behind on the base, so he built himself his own robot. So basically, it's like D.Va, but it's a hamster, and he looks like Hamtaro.
Okay. Who's he voiced by? Do we know who he's voiced by? Does he have a human voice, or is he just a cute hamster who's super smart?
I believe that he's going to have a voice because, again, he's part of the same experiment as Winston.
Because Winston is voiced by my favorite voice actor of all time, Crispin fucking Freeman.
I know. I know. I don't know who his voice actor is yet because I've just, like, watched the Champion reveal video, like, three times, twice while I was at work. But I'm already in love. Basically, the way the character works is they rate him as a 3 difficulty to actually use, and I think that it's more of, like, actually combining his attacks well because he has a grappling hook so he can grapple onto buildings and then go into ball form and literally be a wrecking ball. So it's a tank character.
Okay.
He has a shield, but he also can leave a minefield.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right.
So it's more of a attack tank versus defense tank.
All right.
And
I wish I was still as strongly invested in the world as obviously a bunch of people are. Just, I took a sidestep during the hype, I think.
There's nothing wrong with taking a sidestep. I, too, took a sidestep pretty much when they nerfed Mercy. So, like, I haven't played Moira yet. I need to. I have not played Overwatch in a couple of months. Again, because when the Mercy nerf came in, I pretty much mained Mercy. So they took a lot of my personal fun and abilities out. And I was like, well, if you're going to nerf my girl, then... But I do feel like Overwatch is kind of rebalancing itself in that it kind of remembered that the whole point of its game and what they wanted to do was create all of their characters to be just so OP that they balanced out. And it was really up to you to learn how to master your OP character versus, oh, this one's too OP, so I'm going to bring him down to try and balance, but now that makes this one who OP. Just everybody OP. So I have a feeling that Mercy will become unnerfed at some point. So I'm looking forward to that. And there are quite a few new characters that they've released that I am interested in and trying. So I'm probably going to go back and play a little bit more Overwatch. I definitely want to play this hamster because I feel like, while I don't run tank, I feel like I might be able to actually run tank with this character.
Okay.
And okay. He's just so fucking cute. He looks like he has the mentality of, like, Pinky from Pinky and the Brain.
Those were mice, not hamsters.
I know they were mice, but I said mentality. I didn't say physicality.
I know.
So it looks like he's, like, evil because, like, when he pops out of his hamster ball, he has, like, this very maniacal laugh.
Yeah, because he's getting out of his hamster ball.
So where, you know, Winston very much feels Paragon to me, I feel like this character is...
more Renegade. Got it.
So, and I kind of like that, because, like, Renegade Hamster. One, that's a great name for a band. Two, I kind of want to experience that.
The band?
Both.
Okay. Hashtag Renegade Hamster.
Seriously, isn't that a great name for a band?
Like, what kind of music do they make?
I don't care. I'm going. I'm getting tickets to see Renegade Hamster. I don't know about you.
Oh my God, RH is coming to Madison Square Garden. How pumped are you?
Seriously, get on that, Renegade Hamster.
Renegade
World
Hamster.
Tour 2018. Don't even know what they do. I'm going. I don't know. Renegade Hamster could be a DJ. I don't know.
Oh my
but
God,
I'm going.
Yes. Go watch him press a space bar.
Yes. And then
why isn't it he? Why can't it be a she? She
it could be. We don't know. It could be like Marshmello. You don't know who's under the mask.
I'm sorry. I think Marshmello's a dude.
Marshmello is a dude. We already know who Marshmello is. Anyway, it's not a big secret anymore. But I'm interested in the new character, and I really want to see how people take to the character when it's released. You know, while I've not been playing Overwatch a lot, I have been watching people play on YouTube and on Twitch. Because it's one of those games that I do like spectating. Because I find that I learn more about characters from other people playing with them really well. There's no other way to put it. You know, there's a lot of characters that I haven't tried. I think Overwatch is, like, one of those games where, you know, you tend to find, like, your 2 or 3 characters that you really like that you feel very confident in, and then that's who you main. And you don't necessarily explore other characters. And with a roster as big as Overwatch's roster is now, that kind of makes sense. But I do like seeing what those other characters are and how they can be used well, because I might find that while there's a character aesthetically I'm drawn to, physically, for the way that I play, there might be a character that is better suited for me. And sometimes I discover that by watching people. Like, I thought I was going to be a Lucario whiz, and I'm not. It turns out that I was better with Mercy when running healer, you know? And I learned that from watching some people play and really doing some internal soul searching. So I'm interested to see how this character is used by people. I'm interested in seeing, you know, how Overwatch moving forward continues to balance itself. And again, I think, you know, it's not a bad idea to go for the totally overpowered play. Like, a game full of just nothing but OP characters works. It's like the line from, you know, The Incredibles. If everybody's super
nobody
and
is.
Special, nobody is. And I think that's the better way to go to level that kind of game, is to just make everybody OP. Everybody can knock out everybody's shields. So it's not about just having a shield and throwing it up. It's really about working with your team to know who's throwing shield and who's going to cover you while shield is up. It forces that into the gameplay mechanic, because you can't just rely on it. So those are just my thoughts there. I'm glad to see that there's more new content coming for the platform. You know,
I mean,
this is
Blizzard. Blizzard can
milk
this cow till the point that then they're just selling powdered condensed milk.
Like, I expect nothing less from the Blizzard team to keep creating characters and releasing them, okay, into the game. The game is making money, making money, making money. It's putting, you know, it's put already two games similar to it to bed.
Good night, Battleborn.
R.I.P. Battleborn.
You go sit down now. Mommy's here. Mm-hmm. The adults are talking.
The babysitter can go home now. The adults have arrived home. Here's your money for the evening. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Which, you know, sucks, because Battleborn, it was a really great idea. It's just, you know, timing-wise, it got clobbered.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, there's not much you can do about that.
Very true.
If it had come out a year before.
Maybe.
You know, as opposed to just a couple of months before, I might have had a shot. Kudos to the team, because it was a good game. It just, it's hard to beat that Blizzard magic.
Yeah.
Blizzard does a really great job of creating environments where people want to play together. They've got the MMO part of pick your platform down. Like, remember when the game came out? Like, I was not going to get Overwatch. And then, like, I played it at PAX East, and I was like, I just pre-ordered Overwatch. And you looked at me like I had just spoken in tongues.
You had spoken in tongues. You were shitting out live chickens. And you were also doing the hokey pokey. Like, all these things that should not happen in tandem were all happening at once. And I was like,
right,
what is going on?
It's not the type of game that typically I would play or be interested in. And I absolutely loved it when I jumped in. And I enjoyed it for, you know, probably about a month or so. And then it just got to the point where so many people were blazing, like, right past me as far as leveling. And
you really can't go by that, because remember, you're dealing in a demographic of young kids who have hours upon hours of their day. Like, yeah, they go to school for 6 hours, but
right,
then,
but the,
you know, if they're not in extracurricular activities or, like, after school things, like, they're just straight up home in their room with YouTube on while they're
getting to play games, which is cool. But the issue wasn't so much people just blazing past me, but it was, there were so many people that were so many ranks above that it was hard for me to get into a matchmaking session with people of similar skill level.
Yeah.
That's what the difficulty became for me. And so when you are a 9 in a group of 55s on both sides, it's not going to be a fun, enjoyable game session.
No, you're right.
And that's ultimately where I ended up. So that's the major reason that I pulled up out of the game, because I was like, I don't have the ability to put in the time to grind up to those same levels so that we are all on the same footprint. Because the people that are at those higher levels, they have, you know, mastery of their characters. And I hadn't mastered any character at that point. And there were so many other games coming out, and I wanted to have those experiences, that, like, Overwatch wasn't going to be the game that I played for the rest of the year. And if it was, then
I mean, I believe this situation that occurred to you in this happens in a lot of similar type, you know, turf war-y type games, like case in point, like with Splatoon 2. Like, I got that maybe 3 days after it released, and I was still among the growing masses of leveling up. So, I mean, I was still able to find matches, but then I stopped playing. And when I finally came back as a level 12, like, everyone is so much higher, and they're all in ranked battles. And,
yep.
Like, me even getting into a common one, I was with overranked people. There'd be one other person lower on the opposite team, you know, and, like, it's like, wow, this is no longer balanced anymore.
Right.
And, like, it got excruciatingly hard because, yes, they were able to dedicate so much more time, or chose to, because I mean, like, mm-hmm. I walked away from the game, so I actively chose not to continue my progression. I mean, the right. same thing kind of happened in Monster Hunter with me and my husband, because we were playing that in tandem to each other. We were leveling up around the same time, and then he mm-hmm. stopped playing it for a bit, and I was able to kill a few things without him. And I mean, that game's leveling mechanic is not necessarily similar to, you know, you grind things down and you build up. Like, it's really based on all the boss things you kill. Mm-hmm. And that ranks you up, but he stopped playing after that. And I mean, you definitely get a difference of skill and abilities and thing and access to different weapon trees and all that stuff after right. you do that. And it does become a little bit tedious.
It happens
to try
across the genre.
Yeah.
Same thing happens in Destiny, right? Like, you probably haven't touched Destiny since you finished
campaign.
The core campaign, right?
Yep. Haven't touched it since.
Okay, there have been 2 raids that have come out since then.
I was never really big into raiding and stuff anyway, which is really funny because I started out being obsessed with Warcraft, which I raided
that
all the fucking
really,
time.
It, right? Like, that is so
I'm
hard
such a
for
hypocrite
me to compute that.
Because I used to be
it's
so about
hard
that.
For me to compute that with you, but it's so true. Like, all you fucking did was raid.
All I did was run instances to get the gear to go on raids. Yeah, I did.
You know.
That was a good chunk of my life. And now I'm like, I don't need that now. I've gone
right?
through that. Like, I've had that experience. It was a dark time for me. And I think because I attribute it to something dark that I'm not easily willing to venture in that because I worry that...
Right.
that.
Well, here's the thing. You don't have to worry about getting addicted to Destiny because I don't think that you will ever get addicted to Destiny.
I would like to say I will never get addicted to another game ever again, but I can't say that.
No, you can't say that.
Infiltrate.
I would say that you would not get addicted to Destiny. But for me... I did the same thing. Like, after core campaign, I kind of let up for a little bit. They started introducing all this stuff that just, once again, I felt like overcomplicated the game, you know, between faction runs, and I liked the way that faction, you know, rallies worked initially, and then they changed it, and so now you have to do all these extra things in order for your shit to count for your faction. And I was like, could you just let everybody declare a faction and go about their business running whatever missions they want to do, and whoever ranks up the most kills and most points, that's the faction that wins. Because not everybody wants to fucking play PvP. And I don't like it when you force me to play PvP in order to try and get a new weapon or to get a goodie. Fuck you on that for that. I don't want to do it, and when you force me to do it, it makes me hate your game and your experience, because you won't let me play the way that I want to play. I still, to this day, haven't run a single fucking raid in Destiny 2, and I'm okay with it. But what pisses me off is some of the coolest weapons that you can get, you can only get if you run the raid, and I don't have people to run the raid, and I also don't know the raids, so I don't do the raids. What do? I run Strike Playlist a bunch. And I just run more missions and do, like, side shit that I haven't been doing in a while. And now Destiny 2, for me, instead of being my obsession, it's like my palate cleanser. It's where I go where I want to, like, blow 15 minutes.
Mm.
Whereas, you know, for a while there, it was, like, lifeblood for me.
Yep, I know.
And so I feel like a lot of games go through that cycle where... For their online player thing, there's enough going on that it's a draw that it makes you want to pick it up every day, because you really do get to a point where you start to become punished if you're not picking it up every day. And I think that that's something really that the industry should look at. And instead of trying to balance weapons and characters in PvP, they should really focus on how do we make sure that this feels balanced for everybody coming in? Because not everybody's getting this game day one. Okay, there are a bunch of people, especially with the more expansion, the Forsaken one that they're going to be launching. for Destiny specifically, okay, there are a lot of people that are going to be getting into Destiny 2 for the first time when that expansion drops, because people are going to be buying as gifts those collections, right?
Mm-hmm.
How do you make it so that those people just jumping in, the newest of the noobs, who maybe didn't play Destiny 1, okay, feel like they have a group of people that's same as them or similar to them that they can run around with, that weapon grabs feel as good to them, that leveling feels as good to them? Like, that's where I think focus should be put, so that those new people coming in basically get hooked on the creamy crack before they realize it's a drug. And maybe they don't want to do drugs. And I feel like that's where games like Fortnite have a leg up on the Destinies and the Overwatches of the world. You can pick up Fortnite right now, and even though there are people that have, you know, unlocked all kinds of costumes and, you know, different gliders and things like that, when you hit the ground, everybody's on a level playing field. Because you all have no weapons and you have no resources. And I think that that's one of the things that will help keep Fortnite at the forefront on those spaces, is because it doesn't matter what you've done in the single player campaign. Nobody is starting off with weapons. Everybody starts off on the level playing field. And that's a great place to be. But anyway, I'm going to shut up and not run my mouth for a little bit, because I know you got some stuff that you want to talk about.
I got one thing.
Okay.
I got one. Well, what's your... One.
All you need is one thing.
One thing. One thing. So before I start, I do want to preface that this game that I'm going to talk about today is not for children.
Oh, is this the NSFW section of the podcast?
This week it is.
Okay, so this is where we tell people, like, hide your kids.
Hey, you may not want your kids listening to this game.
This section of the podcast is 18 plus. If you are not 18,
yeah,
then you need to turn it off.
So, yeah, this game is not for children, and it's definitely not safe for work at all. I have to thank my husband for this, because...
Oh, are you talking about Monster Prom?
No. Oh. I am not talking about Monster... I wish I were talking about Monster Prom.
Oh, Lord. Okay.
I'm not, though. So, because, okay, you know, back a couple of years ago, I was pretty obsessed with a dating sim called Hot for Boyfriend.
Oh, you remember? No. Yes, I remember you and your pigeons.
And, well, not just... There was some mourning doves... Two. It wasn't just strictly pigeons, but, you know, I was wooing every birdie,
yes,
getting my human bird love on in a way that is not natural anywhere.
Just say no to bestiality, kids.
So.
Although, kids, you're not supposed to be listening. Turn this off.
I mean, adults also say no to bestiality.
Also, adults say no to bestiality.
Well, I mean, if...
No to bestiality.
There's no bestiality in the game I'm talking about.
Oh,
so that's good, right?
Oh my god.
So
I need a drink.
So the name of the game that I'm talking about, which you can find on Steam, and is available for Windows, not available for Mac though.
That's probably for the best.
It's called Kitsune's Kitchen. And let me just give you...
It sounds harmless.
It does. And it has a cute little... Its image is really super cute. It literally is a cutting board with this really cute sandwich that's been cut in half. And then Kitsune's Kitchen is in, like, pink bubble font. Like, kind of gives you, like, the weird impression of, like, Doki Doki Literature Club.
Oh, no.
Sort of. In the story, we play as generic man-child, boy, teen... And it's his story to go on an epic quest to make the best BLT sandwich. So the game starts off with a phone call from our mom, because she's at her brother's mansion. And her and dad are coming home soon, but she just wanted us to call to remind us to take out the trash and for us to have lunch. Because, you know, that's a good mom, right?
Yep.
Good mom. Just check on the way home.
Make sure the trash is taken out and make sure that you eat.
Make sure that you have provided yourself sustenance. So you're like, okay, I'm going to go throw out this trash. And then you go out to the trash bin, and all of a sudden the trash bin manifests eyes, a nose, and a mustache. And is like, hey, boy, you've not lived any type of life yet. And, like, you need to stop watching that titty Asian cartoon bullshit and go meet real women. I'm going to help you do that. And, of course, like,
you know that you're tripping balls, the shrooms are too strong, and you need to, like, just go sit down.
And go find Jesus. But, literally, your character doesn't seem all that surprised that a trash barrel is talking to them.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Which, you know, it's pretty funny. But it's just like, okay, sure, trash barrel. I'll find women and talk to them. But I have to go make lunch first because my mom told me I have to take out the trash and I'm not supposed to watch any prawn and I have to make myself some lunch. So you, as your character, decide that you're going to make a BLT. So you head to your kitchen.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Oh, no.
And when you get to your kitchen, you find convenient things in your kitchen, like a loaf of bread and a toaster and a pan and a refrigerator and some salt. Basic kitchen, right?
Yes.
So what the first thing you should do is obviously get the bread and toast the bread, right?
Right.
So you take the bread and you go and you go to put the bread in the toaster, and then the toaster develops these cute brown eyes and these glasses.
Again, shrooms are bad.
But I mean, the great thing about this game is that the first instance where these appliances, because let me tell you right now that legitimately it's mostly appliances that begin to talk to you. The salt also does, but I don't consider the salt an appliance as it's more of a condiment, but whatever. You have the choice right off the bat to acknowledge that it is talking to you or choose not to acknowledge that it is talking to you. And granted, depending on if you acknowledge that they're talking to you or not. Like, if you completely shut them down, they just revert back to a toaster and nothing weird happens except for the fact that, you know, you thought you saw her face. So you could go about the whole thing, ignore all the conversations from the toaster, the pan, oh, and there's a knife too. A knife, the salt shaker, or the refrigerator, and just make yourself a sandwich and be done with it. And there's an ending for that where your parents come home and literally you tell your mom that you need to go to college for psychology because you need to figure out your brain because something weird happened. But you never tell your mom what it was that happened. But granted, that's too short of a game, right? Like, clearly we have to delve into all these relationships with our hot appliances in our kitchen.
I'm sorry, did you say hot appliances?
Well, yes, because very much like in Hot of a Boyfriend, at the beginning of Hot of a Boyfriend, you could choose.
Please tell me that you don't bang the appliances.
I can't say that to you.
Oh, God, no! No!
I can't say that! No, but it all.
Panda, no!
Yeah. So sure enough, you know, the whole quest in Kitsune's kitchen is to, you know, find your soulmate in your kitchen, whether that is your very because mind you, like I said, in Hot of a Boyfriend, you have the option at the beginning to turn on the option to see what these pigeons and birds look like as people right at the beginning, like during introductions. You can see their human-ish form. But then, for the rest of the game, they're straight-up birds. So, yeah. So Kitsune's Kitchen does the exact same thing, that during the introductions to each of these things in the kitchen, you will have a moment where you see them in a humanoid form. So, like, case in point, the toaster. You know, wearing a yellow shirt that also has, like, pieces of bread on it. She wears glasses. Her hair is in light brown and has buns. And, like, she comes off very subservient. She calls you master. She never calls. Granted, you don't have a name, so, I mean, at least she calls you something. But, like, literally, as you're, like, You approach her with the bread, you know, she's just like, are you going to shove that deep inside me? Because I really like when you shove things deep inside me. I get all hot inside. Yes, yes, yes,
no.
Yes. And sure enough, because, you know, me and my husband, we crazy like that. We like to voice act these things. So, of course, like, I'm all the female things and he's the male thing. And clearly, like, it is suggestive as all get out. Like, I was like, is this arousing me? Am I weirded out? Am I both? We're going on this journey together, husband and I. So sure enough, like I said, you can romance and potentially sleep with the toaster, the pan, the refrigerator, the knife, and the salt shaker. And
you can sleep with the knife.
Yeah. Well, actually, believe it or not, like, I was really curious about how that would work out, because clearly the knife is, she's masochistic.
No.
Yeah.
You don't say.
And she likes being choked, because, like, when you first pick her up, like, because she's a knife,
oh
right?
Oh, my God.
And when you first pick her up, she's like, yes, choke me harder. And, like, it, yeah. And you're, you know, and you're inexperienced with the kitchen, so, like, you're not
I'm actually really glad that you can't play this on a Mac.
Yeah. But sure enough, like, she's psycho, and she likes to be choked, and she's jealous of any other appliance in the room. So you can't tell her that you've talked to other appliances, because then she gets, like, yandere real quick. Like, really quickly. And granted, when you romance the knife, you're sexting. Is it really sexting as you're in your bed, and she's in your mouth, and you literally, like, slice your mouth open? Sort of. Like, she's the creepiest. I mean, granted, sleeping with appliances is creepy, so don't do it. But sure enough, at the end of each of the romances, like, your mom, your parents come home and find you in bed with the toaster, the pan, the salt shaker, and, you know, the knife or the refrigerator. Which, granted, how'd you get the refrigerator in your bed? Like, this guy is not a buff dude. I don't know how that happened.
I don't know how that works. Please tell me this is all, like, happening in his head.
No, he legit fucks them all. Like, the toaster, he's, like, sticking his tongue in the slots where the bread goes.
No!
In the pan, he's got the pan. And the funny thing about the pan is, like, the straight-up, like, slut. Like, she likes to be oiled up and likes to be really hot. And doesn't like to be cleaned off when you're done using her. Like, she's really grimy. Like, her dialogue is so inappropriate. I was like, that is just gross. Wash that pan out right now, that dirty whore. Like, it's so bad. And, but yeah, so, like, if you have the pan, like, you've got the pan part with all the grease and shit from your bacon, from your BLT. Like, all up in your junk, and you're just kind of humping the pan. And then the salt shaker is probably the cutest one, and I use cute very loosely when I say this, because literally it's like a little glass salt shaker with, like, the metal, you know, I don't know what the top of a salt shaker is called where the salt can come out, but, like, the top hat thing. And literally you're just in bed naked, and you've put your finger in the salt shaker.
No, don't. Oh, my God.
That's it. And you're just in bed with your finger in the salt shaker.
I can't.
And,
I do not have the ability to even.
But, yeah. So, like, it... And I was surprised when my husband's like, I thought you'd appreciate this. And I was like, I don't know if I could watch this happen. Let's play it. And then sure enough, like, this game literally probably took, and I mean, I fell asleep at the end, so I didn't get to see him romance the knife, but I kind of figured what would happen with that. But it took my husband maybe less than an hour to get all of the endings in this game. Now, granted, you know, dating Sims wouldn't be dating Sims unless there was an element that if you fucked up enough, you would die. So there are moments where, depending on in the dialogue of you wooing or not wooing the appliances, that if you, like, if you crank up the heat on the pan to, like, 9 instead of a 6, you literally cause, like, a giant, like, grease fire that you then think to pour water on, which, fire safety, you don't do that for a grease fire.
No, ever. Ever.
But your character is dumb and does that and burns the whole house down and you die. And when you meet Frigitte, who is your refrigerator,
oh my God.
When she wakes up and she talks to you, if you scream at her and you become too hysterical, she tips over and squashes you to silence you, so she kills you. And the knife, I mean, don't fuck with the knife, because that knife is ready to end you at a moment's notice, regardless. Granted, I don't think the salt can kill you. I don't think there's anything...
Sodium can kill you.
Actually, you know, you make a valid point on that, but I don't think in this game there, because you don't encounter Salt until the very end, and unfortunately, in terms of all the romance arcs, you always have to reject Salt if you want to sleep with any of the other appliances, which sounds really weird when I say that out loud.
So Salt is possessive?
Well, Salt's the last one that you get, and you don't really and you don't really get the option to reject her the way you could reject everybody else. So it's kind of like, if you don't talk to anybody,
Salt into your life.
More or less. So, but either way, like, the animation of this dating sim is, you know, cute, considering.
Uh-huh.
The dialogue is believable, considering the source.
Uh-uh.
It's short, sweet, and to the point, considering your fucking appliances. Now. So, I mean, I don't know, and I'm sure there is a, I'm sure there's actually a term for finding pleasure off of devices and appliances.
Sure,
I just don't know what the word is.
There's a thing for everybody, but please, for safety's sake,
do not put any part of your body in a toaster, in a hot pan, in or on a refrigerator, or near any sharp objects like knives.
Or scissors.
And don't put a salt shaker, like, well, I don't know why he didn't put the salt shaker in his butt. I'm just saying, of all the things that could have been inserted into the butthole, salt would have been...
I don't know why we're having this conversation.
The appropriate size. No.
You're correct.
I'm just saying, like... Or in your mouth, but I mean, you don't want to choke, right?
No,
like
no.
I mean, unless that's your thing. But regardless,
right?
This game, like I said, is for Windows. It was it came into existence on June 1, so like this is a very young game in terms of its lifespan. And I mean, the BLT sandwich does look really good because you do, in fact, end up making the sandwich before you fuck. So, I mean, and I think you bring it, depending on, like, with the toaster, you bring it with you to bed, and you eat the sandwich before you guys get down to your business. And the developer and publisher is Techromancy Studios, which I kind of really dug the name. And I mean, this was a very interesting journey down dating sims. And I mean, and I love me a good dating sim. Like, I have played several. And, I mean, I loved Hot of a Boyfriend. And I tried to muster the courage to play the Horse Prince game. Could not do that. But
yeah.
if I could be a part of Kitsune's Kenshin, I may now have to go to the Horse Prince Face game. Because if I can play a game where I literally am putting my pickle into my Frigidaire, I think I can deal with a human woman teaching a horse with a beautiful man face to be the best pony ever. Like, I feel like my skew of comfortability needs to shift some, because I literally wooed a toaster and put my tongue in a toaster.
I mean, you did woo a toaster.
I did let a pan.
You have to live with that choice.
I let a pan put its grease all over my wang jangle. Willingly. I think I can deal with a horse with a man face on it.
I'm trying so hard to, like, have a serious conversation.
There's nothing serious about what I just talked about.
No, because there is, though, kind of. I mean, it is a game, right? It is a dating sim, so there is strategy involved. There are choices that you have to make in order to open paths, right?
Yeah.
And you have to get to know these devices. It's not just like, yeah, I put my toast in, you take it. Like,
well, actually, if you utterly refuse to... Because, like, in the case with the toaster, like, when you get the bread for the toaster and you put the toast in, like, she kind of goes, yeah, like, you know, the cute girl owl. And, you know, and she's like, please don't do that. And, like, you could just ignore her and just shove your bread in there. So, like, there are moments where, like, you're forcibly ripping open the refrigerator to get the lettuce and the bacon and the tomato. So, like, there are moments where, like, you are forcefully putting upon these appliances your desire for the best sandwich. So, like, there are high moments where, like, you should feel slightly uncomfortable because, you know, after this, I was like, oh, man. I'm like, I just walk into my kitchen and I slam pans and I, like, take the whisk and, like, roughly...
Because they are inanimate objects.
And now it makes me consider, like, Should I ask the
bull
first?
Your pan is not a person. Your pan is not a person.
Like, Glass, should I ask you politely to fill you with this water that so that I may drink you?
Like, and I know that that is odd to say coming on the heels of going through our big Detroit experiences, but your pan is a pan. It's not an Android.
I think the core message from Kitsune's Kitchen is consent on a different level.
Do not have sex with your cook.
Do not engage in romance and romantic activities with inanimate objects.
Don't bone your toaster.
I mean, if you're going to, at least ask
for
consent.
No, do not. If so, you're going to.
Please ask if it's okay.
No, do not do it.
I mean, there are people out there who, you know, have, like, you know, robotic dolls for that type of thing and Japanese love pillows that
That's
they get a
different.
Good cuddle on.
Those are different.
You have to, you can't ask the pillow if it's okay for you to rub yourself on it.
You don't have to. It's a pillow.
But it has
its
face
just
on it.
A design on a case on a pillow.
Either way, if you were curious about this cute exploration of feelings and love, check out Kitsune's Kitchen on Steam for 99 cents. It's practically free.
I can't.
And you can't get STDs from refrigerators. So, I mean, it's the safest sex around.
Look, the only winning move here is not to play.
But that's the game that I experienced for the show this week. What do you have, sis?
Don't put that on the show. Don't put that on, oh, I had to do something.
No.
Podcast.
Well, I mean.
Woe is me. I guess I'll
mean,
play
I'm,
this game.
I'm not
going to
lie. My husband last night was like, please tell me you're going to talk about this on the show. And I was like, yes, I am. I have to. I cannot deny our fans the gloriousness that is Kitsune's Kitchen.
Maybe we should rethink some things. Maybe there are some things that we should deny them. Maybe there are some things you should discover on your own. No, I'm joking. Like, here's the deal, okay? I would not play this game.
It's super cute, though. I think you'd appreciate its art style. Maybe not its message, but its art style.
I feel like that is a very accurate statement, okay? Because I do enjoy art, and I do enjoy things that are, you know, different, okay? Like, I think that sexing and romancing pigeons is weird. It was a little bit easier for me when they showed me their human forms, because for the rest of the game, anytime I saw a pigeon, I was seeing their human form. I was not seeing the pigeon form.
Not all of them were pigeons, for clarification. There were different birds.
You did your thing. I'm doing mine, okay?
Okay.
All right. So I saw their human form, not their bird form. How about that?
Okay.
How about that?
Okay.
That work for you?
Yes.
Okay. So my brain made the switch and went, here's how I'm going to make this okay for you. So I always saw, in my mind's eye, their human form, which again, these are all pixels. They're all characters, right? So it's not like you're actually got a pickle that you're now actually putting into a toaster, okay? I get that. And you gotta have, you know,
you gotta expand your belief.
So that it's not just another dating sim, okay? I'm completely on board with that, and it's definitely a different idea. I think what would probably be a little bit more interesting for me is that there was a little bit more exploration in the game of why all of a sudden, just as his parents are returning home, he starts to see these inanimate objects become animate objects that he could animate with.
Right. Which is why, like I said, in one of the endings, if you completely reject all of them, you go to school and you get a degree in psychology to then diagnose yourself because something is fucked up in your brain.
See, and I would really like it if, like, that was examined a little bit more.
Maybe. But where's the fun in that? You can't fuck your degree. Actually, I'm surprised that they don't let you.
The degree, okay? What I'm saying is, I think it would be easier for me, and I would be slightly more interested in playing this fuck buddy game, if there was an examination that he did, like, often of himself questioning himself after, Jesus fuck, why am I all of a sudden seeing this toaster as this bubbly girl and that I want to fuck her? What's going on with me? Am I having a psychotic break? Did I do something? Did I take something? Am I feeling guilty? Like, if there was, like, some kind of exploration of self other than, no, I reject all of these things, but I'm fucked up. So instead of going to see a doctor or talking with somebody about it, or maybe, hey, mentioning to my mom that, like, the refrigerator, Frigid, I'm sorry, look like a vulnerable sex partner, maybe I should talk with somebody as opposed to let me pursue a college degree and then diagnose myself.
Mm.
That's all I'm saying. I'm like, for me to be able to play this game, I would need some of that in there so I could justify, well, it's really about a journey to finding myself. As opposed to, it's really about a journey of finding myself with my dick in a toaster. That's not a journey I want to go on. That's all I'm saying, Panda. That's all.
So, that's Kitsune's Kitchen.
Bringer of such interesting things, Steam.
Thank you, Steam.
I'm sure that's not going to be in a Humble Bundle.
not anytime soon.
I don't know how to follow that because the thing I'm talking about is completely on the other end of the spectrum.
Okay.
Oh, man. See, this is why sometimes I shouldn't let you go first. So, okay, so I am talking about Ghost of Tsushima this week on the podcast, which we've talked a little bit about as we were going through our E3 stuff, our initial feelings and reactions and things like that. But I've been spending a little bit more time researching the game and watching some additional videos out about it. And I have to say that I'm a little bit more interested in the game now after doing that research than just based off of the trailer and the stuff that we saw at E3, right? So if you don't remember, Ghost of Tsushima, basically you play a samurai who is really trying to protect the people of his town and village from all the things that are happening around them. War is coming. It's coming very quickly. And in order to protect their way of life, you, the player character, has decided to step up and against what appears to be an insurmountable odd, protect that way of life. What struck me about the game is that I felt like from the reveal trailer and things like that, that it was going to be another open sandbox world, but with a very linear story. And I wasn't necessarily sure if that's exactly the experience that I wanted in another game coming out, because there are a lot of games like that that are coming out. You know, we've got another Assassin's Creed on the horizon, and that very much is, you know, there is an end point to the game in a beginning, in a middle, and you can kind of dart off here and there to do some other things, but typically, you know, your Assassin's games are fairly linear as far as progressing the story. What's interesting about Ghost of Tsushima is, as I've been investigating the game, that's not the case. So one of the things I was noticing in the trailers and the gameplay that was shared during E3 was at no time on the screen was there a HUD.
Huh.
So there wasn't anything indicating, okay, this is where you need to travel to next in order to advance the story. This is where enemies are coming from. You know, the heads-up display that I'm used to seeing in games like Grand Theft Auto and, you know, to a degree, you know, having those maps and overlays and displays in, you know, Assassin's Creed games and in, you know, many modern fighter action platformer games, those kinds of things. And as I did my research, I learned that doesn't exist in Ghost of Tsushima at all. There is no HUD overlay. There are no waypoints. You will explore the vast map the way that you explore it. So the game is not going to be like, oh, you're here. This is the spot that you need to get to. You should figure out how to get to it. It's not going to do that. You are going to basically be a wanderer, a wandering samurai. I've already, like, in my head, called myself Rurouni Kenshin many times thinking about this game. But you are going to wander the land, and as you encounter characters, you will encounter characters that will help you move your story forward or inform you of where you should look to journey next to move your story forward. And I kind of like that mechanic because that's the kind of thing that, to me at least on paper, makes it sound like I actually am on a journey. I am exploring an open sandbox. And that's kind of exciting. That's the kind of thing that I've been really waiting for in my sandbox games is really and truly, here's your sandbox, go play. Do it your way. We've created this world, explore it your way. And I'm very excited about that. Not to mention, I already was in love with the art style of the game, simply because when looking at the stuff shared at E3 and some of the gameplay footage that I've seen come out since the show, it reminds me very much of Bushido Blade, which was one of my more favorite fighting games, in that the art style is very artistic. And not to be silly, but there's a lot of art style in game that feels like I've seen it before.
Okay.
You know, it's brick block one, turn 30 degree angle. But I've seen that brick. I've seen this wall. I've seen these textures before. It's kind of hard to construct a building differently because we know what a building looks like, right? We know what skyscrapers look like. We know what grass looks like. And so it's very hard to artistically create a world that both strikes a bone on the nostalgia side and is easy recognizable, but also is so stylized that it feels new and it feels different. And it's one of the things that I liked about Bushido Blade is even though it was a fighter, its backgrounds and its character designs at the time were like nothing I had seen in a fighter before. You know, even the wall structure was different than Wolfenstein. And, you know, I had all these characters running around going, Yokumadoshi! And it was basically like, you got one hit. Kill him in one hit. Make it happen. Because if you have to go multiple strikes, your blade's going to dull. You're going to have problems. It was very interesting. And the culture being explored was interesting. And then, you know, you had games like Samurai Showdown that, you know, on paper, no different than any other fighter that I played at the time, but the environments were different. The character designs were like nothing I had seen before. I was just getting into anime at the time, so I wasn't really familiar with, you know, Eastern designed characters at the time, as far as fighting games went. You know, I played a little bit of Virtua Fighter, but my brain always kind of characterized that as a console arcade game and not a console home game, so I didn't really make those connections. But I just think that Ghost of Tsushima has a lot of potential. Much more potential than I really was giving it credit for. And that's a double dumbass on me for being a little bit of a game snob.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, when watching the reveal performance, I was like, oh, here we go. Here's a very, very Romance of the Three Kingdoms thing that we're going to throw at you because we're Sony. And everybody loves that stuff. And don't get me wrong, I love Romance of the Three Kingdoms, but I've watched so many Korean dramas and watched so many movies that either are the romance or even animes that are the romance or like tries to be twists of the romance. Like I'm kind of romanced out. And so I thought, here's another thing that I'm going to be bored with. And sure, it's going to be an open sandbox, but it's going to have a linear story and there's going to be all this crafting that I have to do, and I'm going to have to get from point A to point B. And so in my head, I was like, if I'm going to do that, I'm probably going to put the emphasis and the energy behind playing Assassins versus Ghost of Tsushima. So I kind of was already writing it off as, you know, this will be a game that I probably watch other people play, but I won't play. And in doing my research, again, guys, this is me going, I was wrong. I think that this is probably going to be one of my more favorite games on the platform if it's done as well as it appears to be done. And the sound design looks amazing. The lighting is unbelievable. I watched this video of the lead character traveling by horse into the sunset to reach his other town, and I was just mesmerized by the sunset. Completely forgot that I was watching somebody play a game. Completely forgot that it was a game. I was just watching this dude ride off into the sunset, and it was absolutely stunning. So if you're like me and you kind of had written off Ghost of Tsushima, I would say do yourself a favor. Don't do that. Do some investigating. Sucker Punch is a great studio. I have a lot of love for everybody over there. And I gotta say, it looks like they put their foot in it when it comes to this game, because it looks absolutely stunning. So I think it's going to be an experience. You'll probably hear about it later on the podcast, if not on the website, and or both, when it finally freaking releases, because seriously, I kind of am in love. I have a little bit of a nerd boner for it, Ghost of Tsushima now, and I didn't think that I was going to.
Okay.
Like, what about you? Have you done any digging into the game? Because I kind of feel like this would be completely up your alley.
The minute they were like, hey, you get to be a samurai and go kill shit in open world, I was like, yeah, I'm going to play that. It's like, you don't need to show me much else. I'm in.
You had me at kill shit samurai.
You had me at Dark Souls samurai. Essentially. You kind of had me there. So I
also, just one thing. I just got to ask. Why does everything have to be the Dark Souls of its genre?
It doesn't. It doesn't have to be. However, when you have elements of, open world with no HUD and no real given direction, and you have weapon deterioration to the point where, it could completely break, and, that kind of is reminiscent to, the whole stamina-ish bar, when you could start making comparisons, and I feel like we as a subculture are doing this now, because nothing new is really coming out, platformers, not a new concept. Beat-em-ups, not a new concept. So I think people are just now boiling it down to, what does this game remind you of? Case in point, at PAX East, I got to hang out with the Phoenix Lab guys and Dauntless. Mm-hmm. And as I'm playing Dauntless, in my head, I'm screaming, this reminds me so much of Monster Hunter World right now. You don't want to come out of it and be like, yeah, that's what we're going for. You don't want to be like, yeah, you totally remind me of this other game that's already way popular and has been out, and you're not going to get a fan base from this. Because you sound kind of, you kind of feel bad about it. But when I came out, I was like, guys, in my interview with them, and I was just like, I feel like all these things, these elements that you are bringing forth are very reminiscent of a current game out there. And literally Monster Hunter World, for sure. Strongly influenced. And, they're like, but, our world is completely different. Yes, the core mechanics and stuff are the same, but the intent and the concept are different. But they're like, yeah, we don't have a problem with people comparing us to that, because, there's a lot of things that we are, that we've taken inspiration from that. We all love those type of games, and, that's not the game we kind of wanted to make. And, I'm not saying that, this game wants to be that, but I feel like, this weird vein of, hardcore gamers, take no prisoners, no more coddling because we're adults now, is a theme that people are instantly connecting to: Demon Souls, Dark Souls, Bloodborne, and those type of games. So when you have a game that brings those elements to the forefront, I think in your brain, the first thing you want to relate it to is something that you've played that's similar. And for most people, that's Dark Souls. So they'll be like, yeah, it's like the Dark Souls of puzzlers. It's like, Dark Souls wasn't a puzzle game, but sure.
Well, I think that there's a lot to be said, like you said, for being able to equate it to an experience that I've already had that is similar to other people. I do think that, there's a lot of positive things that I have to say about Dark Souls, and I have before. I do think that the combat for God of War was heavily influenced by Dark Souls, and for the game and the story they were trying to tell, it made much more sense. It made more sense for Kratos in that game to be much more about dodging and counter-attacking than necessarily just balls out to the wall, annihilating you without even a second thought, right? Because he's matured and calmed down and has a son. He's a dad. Probably shouldn't go in all blades of chaos a-waving. You might want to ask a question or two first.
Yeah.
Maybe not go into that room. Maybe walk around it. You know? Tap dance around the fact that I'm a god and you're a god. You know? And so that made sense. I think for me, where I, like, have a little bit of a pause is that I think that Dark Souls is a great game and should be the gold standard for games that want to be Dark Souls. Action platformers don't all have to be Dark Souls.
That's true.
You know, I feel like dungeon crawlers should be dungeon crawlers. Like, I saw a release, I'm not going to name names, but of a game that came across recently that somebody wanted us to cover. And it was like, it's the Dark Souls of bullet hell games. And I'm like, what does that even mean? Bullet hell games are already hellish. What are you doing to make it more so? Like, how? How is this the Dark Souls of bullet hell games? And why on earth would you want to do that?
I don't know. I know I don't.
Right? I want no part of that. Okay, I like bullet hell games, but I don't need to know that it's going to be even more difficult than I think it is by simply the name bullet hell being associated with it, but now the Dark Souls of bullet hell games. Wait. Why? Jesus, why? I'll wait. I'm listening. I'm open to your words, Lord. Because, like, why? And that's all I'm saying is I think that it is absolutely an open space to, one, be inspired by a lot of games, because typically people who are making games are gamers to begin with. They played games. They fell in love with games. And probably the game that they fell in love with the most was the inspiration for them to want to make a game just like that, but with their spin on it. So I don't think that it's a bad thing or a nasty thing or you know, even a thing to tie shame to be like, oh yeah, this game's totally inspired by this. It has flavors of that. It absolutely should be, because you should be inspired by the things that you love to create things that you love. You know, I 100% am behind that. I think where I am a little bit pensive is it feels very much like people are throwing on mechanics from Dark Souls to their games, or Battle Royale to their games, not necessarily because it fits there or because they feel like it's a place they want to explore, but it's a place and it's a mechanic or it's an item that sells and it's hot right now, so throw it in there so we could be hot too, and we could all be the hotness. And no, that's not how you be the hotness.
I agree.
That's all I'm saying. Let Dark Souls be Dark Souls. You be you. Hashtag do you, boo-boo. That's all I gotta say. I got no more. I got nothing else to talk about. Like, I could fill out more time, but one, it's hot. And two, I really would like to, on the next podcast episode that we do live, because we are going to be on break next week, so you guys get a clip show. Foreshadowing! Next week. But when we're back the week after that, I want to talk anime, because this season of anime has rounded down, so I've been able to binge a bunch of things, and there's some good shit out there worth watching. So I want to talk about that. So it's time for me to wrap up this podcast. Unless you have any words of wisdom you want to leave the people with, Panda, now's your opportunity.
Don't romance your kitchen appliances. Be safe. I already said that. I'm just reiterating it for posterity.
Good. Yeah. That's really for the best.
No matter how shiny that toaster looks, don't insert.
No. Nothing but bread. That's all we're saying. The more you know. So, with that, it's time to wrap up this podcast episode. If you liked it, please make sure that you subscribe to our podcast. You can find it on our website, electricsisterhood.com. You can also find it in iTunes, either on the desktop or through the podcast application by searching for the Eshcast and subscribing. If you go to the website, you can find the links right on our homepage, as well as some great content that Panda and I are creating, as well as all the other content creators that are part of the network. So please bookmark our site, share it with your friends, subscribe to the podcast. If you like what we're doing on Esh, then please make sure that you check out all the places where you can engage with us and let us know what you like. If there's something you want us to review, you can hit us up on Twitter and Instagram at ESH News. share a lot of content there, so please reshare, quote retweet, retweet, double tap it if you like it, if you love it. Hit us up on our Facebook page, facebook.com/landofesh. You can find some of our videos there, as well as just some fun stuff that we're creating and putting out, and articles that the entire team is placing out on the web for your easy perusal. If you like us, you love us, you enjoy what we're doing, help spread the word about us, tell all your friends, put us out on your social, pimp us to your besties, and also do the same for our homies over at b3crew.com, who talk about all kinds of great stuff. There's some really great interviews right now that our homie King Baby Duck has done, one with Frank Turner, which is absolutely fantastic, and another one with Aspe Chan, so please make sure that you check out b3crew.com. Check out their articles, share them, like them, love them, put them out on the webitudes beyond what we're doing. And also check out his podcast, No Borders, No Race, a fantastic show where he streams all different kinds of J-pop, K-pop, rock, indie bands, talks about all kinds of entertainment, including games and anime, of course, but from a very unique perspective. So please make sure you check out No Borders, No Race, hosted by our homie King Baby Duck. On Wednesday night, our homie Hampsman 2049, holding it down on Twitch, twitch.tv/Hampsman2049, with his stuff that he's streaming every Wednesday, a new game. New to him, maybe new to you, maybe not, because he plays retro and new games on his stream live. Puts the link out on Facebook and on smashrook.com every Wednesday, typically at 9 Eastern. So make sure that you tune in, jump in the chat, let him know who sent you, and what you're enjoying about his gameplay or not. One of my favorite humans on the planet, Bill the Issues Guy, with Bill's Recap and Review, my favorite recap show on all of YouTube. So please make sure you check out Bill's Recap and Review. Subscribe, hit the notification so you know when new episodes go out. You can be part of his chat live either by calling in or just jumping into chat. But his recaps are absolutely amazing. And if you love Westworld, you need to watch his Westworld recaps. And then finally, last but not least, our friends over at NerdCrave.com, keeping you up to date with all the stuff nerds crave, from movies and music and manga and anime and comics and games and more. If it's nerdy, nerds over at NerdCrave.com are talking about it. So please make sure that you check out all of our sites, that you bookmark them all, electricsisterhood.com, b3crew.com, smashrook.com, nerdcrave.com, theissuesprogram.com. Bookmark us all, like us all, check out our feeds, share us with your friends, interact with our social, like, comment, subscribe, all that good stuff that you know to do to help keep the dream a-moving. With that, I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And until next time, guys,
titties.